Today's Fan Run Podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Basketball teams are entering the final month of the regular season, and they're gearing up for the playoffs. DraftKings Sportsbook, America's top-rated sportsbook app, is putting you in the center of all the action with a chance to turn $1 into $100 in free bets. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps when you sign up to turn $1 into $100 in free bets if the basketball team of your choosing hits a three. That's code FANRUN in all caps for a limited time and only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only to bet. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line 1-800-889-9789.
I get for working overtime.
Overtime! I still think I got a little situation. So listen to me, sister, listen, maybe you can help. I think I give a lot of fathers my consideration, but not for me, and I was sending it for someone else.
Welcome into overtime. FanRun Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville, live from the FanRun Radio Studios. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, John Fulgerson, Alex Comas in the studio with you guys today. Golf is being played. The Masters are underway. Bars, I didn't mean to make that rhyme, but it did. Fellas, Masters weekend getting started. It's kind of weird. I'm not going to lie. It snuck up on me every time people are talking about the Masters and talking about how DJ won last year. My brain just gets into a pretzel because time is not a thing anymore ever since COVID happened.
Well, also, they played it recently.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's why my brain is every time someone brings up the Masters, it just keeps breaking time. I mean, everything ran together this summer, but especially mm-hmm. the Masters happening at a weird time in the year.
Played it in what, like November?
It was November 13th.
Yeah.
Well.
No, I am thrilled the fact that we get the Masters.
There is golf, yes.
I mean, what is this? Like, I guess like 6 months, 7 months difference?
They're going to play golf for that long?
What now? They've not played golf?
No. How long does the Masters last? I thought it was the weekend tournament. The majors they start Thursday and then they end on Sunday, right? Like Tiger wears red on Sunday, but you just said 6 to 7 months.
Since
is
the
this
last
like the
one.
Monopoly of
since
golf?
Since the last one.
Okay.
You know, shorter time, less than, you know.
Like, less than a year.
It's pretty cool
okay,
to have
okay,
a quick
bad,
turnaround,
my bad.
Is what I was really.
I got you.
I
so
like,
they don't
I like,
play
I,
for
I,
6 to 7 months.
No, I was just mostly saying that I like the Masters. Pretty cool, if you ask me.
I got you.
Big fan. Anybody else like the Masters?
I like the Masters.
You like, big fan? We just watched Tommy Fleetwood knock one in with one whack. That was pretty cool.
Yep.
Pretty neat. Magic happens as soon as we walk into the studio.
Probably was a replay.
Will missed it. No, it was live.
Oh, really?
It was live.
Not a big golf guy.
It was pretty cool.
I watched Patrick Reed win the Masters. What was it, 2018? Was that the year he won?
I guess so. Maybe
2018, 2019. One of those 2 years.
One of those weird.
I think it was 18. I think
we were in Nashville for a soccer field trip. Or not a soccer field trip. For games. We were in
right.
Nashville. And I was the manager of the JV team. The varsity team was playing and all the people were watching the game. I went back to the bus to watch Patrick Reed win the Masters.
Like what you said yesterday, sounds like a good marijuana strain.
Patrick Weed.
Yeah, not bad. Not bad.
See,
if
but
he
I,
decides
I,
to get into the industry,
I don't hate the idea, but
name.
He would have to be okay with looking like Patrick Starr in the logo. Like, that would be the only way it would fly. I think you would
Why?
Have to put him in those types of swim trunks. I don't think a picture of Patrick Reed on a weed
no,
bag
you
would
throw
signal,
him in, you throw
signal
him in some
good
sun,
weed.
You throw him in some sunglasses.
I'm sorry, I don't think Patrick Reed and then good weed are like two things
sure,
you think about
no,
when you picture
I,
Patrick
I'm not
Reed.
Saying it's a good business. I'm just saying... It's a name.
But if you put him in the purple and green swim trunks that Patrick has
right?
with no shirt on,
right.
I think that might sell a little bit harder.
Maybe.
A little bit better.
Maybe. I don't know.
But no, I'm not a big Masters guy. But, I mean, it seems
Huge.
Like you two are. Did you guys have
Huge
any names
Masters.
You were keeping an eye out before the tournament started? Obviously, it's underway. So
yes. I have money on Colin Morikawa.
Okay. You did say that yesterday.
Yeah. He is
Struggling?
Not struggling. I mean, he's playing all right for a younger guy in the Masters.
I guess definition of struggling is weird in golf because like guys are like, what, plus 10 already somehow? There's a couple of amateurs who are like plus 8.
Sure, but they're also playing Augusta.
Of course.
They're playing from the pro team.
Again, that's why struggling is a weird term to use.
Collins plus 1 on the day through 13.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of where he sat. Like, he had a bogey early. I think it was in the first 7 holes.
Is bogey over or under? Strokes.
He had a bogey on three.
On three.
Is that one over or two over strokes?
Just one.
I'm not one.
He also had one on six.
I know the terms like eagle,
so
bogey,
and
stuff
and
like
down.
That. No idea the definitions. But yeah. Morikawa staying.
I got
in
him
it.
At decent odds, and he's really good and really like he sees like he's one of the few young guys I could see winning this tournament like legitimately because of just how well he's played this past year, past couple years. But
leader. Just finished on the day. Justin Rose.
Justin Rose.
Under 7.
I'm glad 60? You guys said his name because I was going to say Jalen Rose on accident. But Rose is minus 7.
Shot a 65
leading
on the
right
day.
Now.
Incredible.
That's close to a record.
It's a really good.
For
really
an opening day round. What they just showed, that's.
He's leading by 4 strokes right now.
He might be top 5. Top 5 all time opening round at Augusta National.
It's not bad at all. It's pretty good
that's
progress.
Really, really good.
Might set up for a meltdown. Might set up for a green jacket. But Harmon.
He was 9 under in the last 11. That's crazy.
B. Harmon. Anybody know who B. Harmon is?
B. Harmon.
Brian Harmon.
Harmon is in third place, tied at minus 3 with
Hideki Matsuyama.
Hideki Matsuyama.
Thank you.
I almost bet on Hideki Matsuyama.
Yeah, do you want us to say the leaderboard for you?
I'm just looking at it, but if you want to help me with the names, I won't turn away from any assistance.
Well, you know what? I'll pass on who's tied for fourth. You take that one.
I got this one. Zalatoris.
Good job.
And
okay. Will Zalatoris.
Hold on. Will Zalatoris is minus 2, and what's his first name? So that
I'm
might help
say
a little
Christian.
Bit. Christian?
Well, there's 2 A's. So that makes an A.
Oh, okay. Christian Benzudenhout.
I'm going to go with
Benzudenhout.
There's no Benz in there.
Benzudenhout. Not Benz.
Oh, okay.
Benzudenhout.
I'd go with that.
That's it. I don't care if it's right. That's the
Benzudenhout
most fun. Benzudenhout is the most fun to say.
Then
but
you got Webb
tied.
Simpson, still tied for 4th. Patrick Reed
tied
for
4th. Patrick Reed.
God, just...
Hate him.
Always hanging out near the top.
I hate him.
How many times
did
he
Patrick
move his
Reed.
Ball today?
Despise him.
How many times did he kick the ball further up the fairway?
Yeah, he'd just say, well, everyone does it.
Everyone does it.
God, that cheater.
He's just very...
We were talking about this
he's
before we got
to
in.
He's easy to dislike.
I can understand why he's easy to dislike, and as a golf fan from far away, it's kind of fun to root for the guys who people dislike a lot of the times.
Right.
I'm under the impression... That A, you're doing a terrible job of being quiet. C, or B.
That did not come through on the headphones at all. People listening are confused now, but go ahead.
100% came through.
Opening
anyways,
your coffee.
No chance.
It did.
Thanks for the context.
Thank you,
folks.
He's watching the podcast levels. Anyways, I was under the impression that, yes, it's wrong to cheat. I understand that.
Yes, it is.
But isn't it a little bit impressive that he's able to do it on like the biggest stage
he's
in
not,
the world?
He gets caught every time.
But he's doing it. Like that's ballsy. I respect that. Sometimes you got to step up to the plate
and cheat,
just cheat.
And risk your tour card?
But it hasn't gotten taken away. Like, he is bending the rules to the fullest extent. I understand as a golf purist or whatever you want
to
call yourself.
It angers me
it
to
angers
hear your
people.
Take right now.
But
and
as
you're
someone,
doing it just to make me
oh,
angry.
100%
it's fine.
The same reason Patrick Reed cheats.
Take.
It's very fun to
it's
do
dumb.
To watch people get uncomfortable
take.
Because it. But Justin Rose minus 4
no,
over
he's
everyone
trying to
else.
Because that's the only way he can.
Fair enough.
He's got a 4-stroke
what
lead.
What did he get in trouble
for? That's a better
for?
Way to put it.
Is that not what I said? Minus
you
four
said
over.
Minus 4 over everyone else's.
Fair enough. He has a 4-stroke lead. I think that's a little inappropriate, but we'll go with it anyways. That's your Masters talk. We'll be right back. Masters is underway, guys. I mean, there's nothing like this other than maybe I think the only thing that compete with the Masters season is also the season of baseball being back. I mean, I know I'm not the biggest baseball guy. I know I kind of poo-poo on some of y'all's parades sometimes. Not as much as the Yankees fan in the room, but I do poo-poo on some of y'all's parades sometimes. But I'm excited baseball's back. I won't lie. Like, it's still a sport. It's still something to watch. Great weather, a cold drink, and a little action on FanDuel Sportsbook. I mean, there's nothing like that. There is nothing like that. And if you've never bet on baseball before, now is the perfect time to get in on the action. FanDuel is letting new users swing for the fences risk-free. You can line up and power hit without the risk of getting out. I mean, that's that. If I gave you that option in the show, I mean, that's basically home run derby type numbers right there.
Would be pretty cool.
Like you don't have any option to get out. Yeah. You just swing for the fences. FanDuel's letting you do that. You'll get up to $1,000 back if your first bet does not win. Once you have an account, you can get up to $25 back each day if your same game parlay bet falls one leg short. This way, you can combine multiple baseball bets for an even bigger win all season long. There's a reason FanDuel is number one in America for being a sportsbook. They're the best one. They are the number one. The app is simple to use. They've got great odds in all different betting markets, unique and fun bet types such as same-game parlays, which I just mentioned, and always-on promotions so you can get more out of action on every single game day. And when you win, you'll get your cash in those 24 hours. That's what makes FanDuel so great. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, sign up with promo code OVERTIME, all caps, one word, to get in on the action. Again, that's FanDuel Sportsbook, promo code OVERTIME, all caps, one word, 21, present in Tennessee, first online real money wager only for risk-free bet. Refund issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Restrictions apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. Again, that number is 1-800-889-9789. Speaking of baseball, for all my Braves fans out there, we got two wins yesterday, so not winless anymore. Felt good to get two wins against the Nats in a doubleheader. Speaking of the Braves, on this date in history, according to ESPN.com, April 8th, 1974, Hank Aaron surpassed Babe Ruth as the all-time home run leader with 715. So that's
pretty cool.
Sick.
That is
sick.
Pretty cool.
I have no idea what his final number was, but it was the 715th homer that set him into the history books in 1974. Baseball action, I'm assuming, was going on today. I'm assuming there was no off day for all the teams. The games were in action today. The Reds get a dub today?
Did not play today.
Did not play today. Okay, fair enough.
We didn't lose.
Good work.
That's true.
Proud of you.
Successful day.
Yes.
I think a good amount of off days today.
Yeah, the
are you
slate
sure they didn't
wasn't,
play
as, wasn't as full. Yeah, I'm pretty sure we didn't play
positive.
Today.
Are you you, unless ESPN is just wrong,
I'm 100% positive.
I'm 1,000%.
Oh, I'm an idiot. Nope, I'm an idiot. I read the Red Sea and didn't read the team name, just saw a Red Sea and thought it was the Reds.
The big fat Cubs, the tall one?
The Cubs playing the Pirates. That's also what confused me, is y'all just got finished playing the Pirates, so I saw a Red Sea against the Pirates. Thought, you know,
right.
Red Sea,
if
yellow.
Only
I thought it was Red Sea, yellow pea. You know what I mean.
So if only they would put the name beside it.
Yeah.
That would actually
I didn't click
lot.
On the full schedule until I found that out. I was only looking at logos. My apologies.
I mean, you got to think that's nice, though, that when he sees a C logo,
he thinks
Cincinnati first,
true.
You know.
We are all the – but actually this year
I would never think that.
This year I'm not really like, you know – I don't really want to be compared, like, to be mistaken for the Cubs. You know, they're not as good as
they're my World Series pick.
So
far,
they're my World Series pick, man. It's going to be a Chicago Civil
until
War.
They aren't. Like,
I mean, they won.
Not.
I mean, they
won,
have been.
They won today.
They
11 hits, four
I mean,
runs
the
over
Cubs
the
have been
the Pirates.
Like
they're 4-3
six,
now.
7 years.
How about the
Pirates fall to 1-6?
4, 5, 6 games.
Red Sox won today, had 12 hits, 7 runs.
There's only been 4, 5, 6 games.
Exactly. Beat the Orioles, both teams 4-3 in that one. Marlins fall to 1-6 over as the Mets get the win, 2-3, 7 hits in that one for the
Ooh.
Mets.
They won on a walk-off hit by pitch.
Is that the game? Yeah, I heard about that.
He leaned into it.
In sports.
Yep.
He leaned into it?
Yep.
Oh, wow.
Nice.
Today was Jeff McNeil's 29th birthday, and he hit a home run today, apparently.
Come on, you just knocked a
oh,
name off the
list. Oh, is he a
list.
Good enough name to do?
Yeah.
Oh, my fault.
Yeah. No, I'm glad you said that.
I would have gotten it.
Good on you.
It would have been
like I would know a Mets baseball
okay.
player.
Speaking
of
which,
it
would
have been between me and Folk.
I already
sure,
looked.
Congratulations.
I'm doing the birthday game. I'm doing the birthday game, by the way, before
okay.
anybody
all right,
else
guys,
looks.
Here
I
we go.
Today.
Here, I'll do one quick birthday real fast.
Sure.
He's 29 years old.
Jeff McNeil.
That's Jeff McNeil.
I get the point.
All right. Folk gets the point.
You're the one who keeps points. You didn't have to say that loud. Yes, the Cubs advance to 4-3. Pirates fall to 1-6 as the Cubs win 4-2 in that one. Diamondbacks drop to 2-5. The Rockies improve to 3-4 as they win 7-3. 10 hits in that one. Two games left to get in action as the Angels are taking on the Blue Jays at TD Ballpark, Florida. Dunedin, Florida. And the Athletics will be playing in Minute Maid Park against the Houston Astros, who are 5-1 versus the 1-6 1-6 Athletics. Games in action right now. You got the Royals and the White Sox in a tied ball game at the top of the first. 6-1 lead for the Twins over the Mariners in the bottom of the fifth, and a 1-0 lead in the top of the seventh for the Brewers over the Cardinals. That's your baseball update. I'm not a baseball guy. I was expecting someone to chip in there because I have no idea what any of that means other than
score. I didn't know where you wanted
one of us to. We were
just talking
baseball.
I
mean, is there anything?
Yeah, I got
other,
I got
other than the
I got,
Reds. Like, do you actually have something?
Yeah.
All I got is scores for you. So
what
if
you got?
If you got storylines.
So last night I was watching the Yankee game.
Let's go to yours.
The series finale between them and the Orioles. And the Orioles won in extra innings. And you could blame the new extra inning rule for it.
A runner being on second?
Actually,
yeah.
that is
you know it's that way for
about.
Both teams, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought it was electric. I actually loved it.
Okay.
Because, like, it's just, like, high intensity.
Right. Like,
the odds,
one hit can score a run.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's exhilarating.
It's
sure.
It's like the
Yankees,
Denver Broncos hitting that Hail Mary pass against the Steelers in that one playoff game. Like, all it takes is one good play out the gate to get that guy in.
Yeah, like the Yankees in the bottom half of the 10th, they had one of their faster base runners on second, and I believe they had two outs.
Do you get to pick who's on base? I guess you do,
no.
Right?
Well,
you,
can –
does the other
it's
team
the
get to pick?
Last out from the previous
okay.
inning.
Okay.
Imagine Bartolo Colon.
That's fair.
Still
but they pitch run whoever it was to put in their faster base runner. Mm. And I think they were down to two outs. And a guy hits a single to right field. Little one-hopper. Right fielder has a pretty good arm. Throws it. It throws it on target. But our base runner just had a great slide to where he avoided the tag and was still safe and extended it for another inning, only
Dang.
For the Orioles to win. But
how do you feel about the
I haven't watched.
I was going to ask how you guys felt about it.
I've not watched an extra innings game this year.
The Reds haven't played one, right?
No, we haven't played one. And just any game that I've saw in the late innings, like, it just hasn't went to extras. But I like the idea, though. I like the idea that, like, I mean, imagine being that pitcher now where, like, you know, you're already nervous as a pitcher in extras when you had to, you know, like, bases were empty.
Yeah.
But now you come out and you've got to pitch to the first guy up with a guy on second, knowing that if he makes contact and he puts this thing, you know, in play through the middle, he's scoring.
Yeah.
So, and I understand, like, the purist being upset about it because, like, it's not like the old time way in which you're manufacturing the run yourself.
Like, you have
like
to
you're
get
given
it.
You're given an opportunity to get a run.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, like, look,
you got to get this game over with, number one.
And who's going to complain about more runs being scored?
Yeah.
It's just Folky. More exciting than watching.
It ups the ante Folky. So much higher.
Exactly.
Each
are you
going
to complain about more runs being scored?
No, I like the rule.
Okay, that is a shock to me.
I mean, because like in extras, but in like,
I hate the rule.
In the past in extras, you know, say you step up for the first time
because all of you like it.
I mean, there's a base hit. You're not really that worried. I mean, there's a guy on first. You can still relax and be cool. It's a little more, you know, you're a little more nervous, but like. One, just make contact with the ball, and it gets down anywhere. You could lose the ball game.
Mm-hmm.
I like that. I like the adrenaline.
And you could hit, with the old rules, some games would hit a lull, too, where you wouldn't see another run scored for another four or five innings. And then you come to a point where it's gone so long, you saw those 17-inning games or 18-inning games where they're out of pitchers and they're throwing position players in there. Like, that's no fun to watch
you
at that point.
You just got to get the game over. Yeah.
I think to make the rule better, because I don't hate the rule. I was joking when I said I hate the rule. I just said I hate the rule because all three of you agreed on something for the first time. But
It's
not the first
one of
time.
The few times.
Second time, my bad.
We all
bad.
Agree on, you know, disliking you.
Yeah, fair enough, enough. So three. but anyways.
All who dislike Will say
I. I hate myself, too. It's okay, guys.
That's right.
But anyways,
we all agree.
I think what would make the rule more fun and a little bit better is, you know how, like, I think it's the Braves. I could be wrong. Maybe it's the Nats. The Mr. Freeze dude who everyone tries to race. Everyone has one just fast fan, like a Mr. Freeze-esque
person. I would like to try that Mr. Freeze thing, by the way.
But that,
I don't want any part of
that. That would be really fun to, like, A, that would be fun to watch your short legs try to race him.
I would beat him. Number one, I'm not that short, but I would beat him.
But anyways, like I would love to see
with
Mr.
A head
Freeze.
Start. Let's not like with the
you
rules know,
being
by the rule
yes.
book. Yes, I'm not. No. We are not going step
do you think
for step.
Do you think you'd be able to compete in the president's race, like the mascots race, where with the giant heads?
President's race.
That's
the
pretty
Nationals,
long distance.
It's a full outfield sprint, correct? But they're wearing mascot costumes. Do you think you would be able to, or you think you'd topple over?
It's not even full outfield. It's like a full ballpark. Like,
is it really? I haven't watched the full thing.
They
start
at like third base and go all the way around. I think the ending is at like first base or something like that. So
no,
nearly three quarters.
Probably couldn't do that. Not right now.
I think that would be really funny if like the Nationals had George Washington with the giant head go out on second base to start the extras, and the Braves had Mr. Freeze go out there to start the extras. You just had your
I don't think you would want giant head George Philly fanatic
goes out there and starts the extras. I think that would be fun. I think that would make this rule even better.
Maybe. I don't know what I like.
I wouldn't win the Mr. Freeze. I mean, even with a head start,
how far is the head start, first of all?
I think it's like five seconds.
Are they even doing that this year because of COVID? Probably not letting a fan on the field, right?
I don't know.
Probably
do you
not.
Think anybody can get 6 feet within him? That dude's fast.
He will eventually close in on
he
you.
He technically
yeah.
does
no,
have a mask on.
6 feet within him.
Well, he starts behind you.
Okay, they can just widen it out.
Okay. You know well, then, but then someone has a shorter distance. Because the further you get away from the wall, there's less curve.
Okay, that just makes it harder for Mr. Freeze.
Right.
But he does this regularly to where I think he's accustomed to the disadvantage at this point.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, you give me the same...
Didn't mean to get in this in-depth conversation.
You give me the same head start as anybody else, I'm dusting him.
No, you're not.
It's not even going to be close.
I don't know
it's
about
not
that, Tucker,
be
to be honest with you.
But you're going to fall,
that's a pretty long distance.
And
you feel
and
good.
He's very, very fast.
Yeah.
He is.
You're going to fall, get a concussion, then just yell, where's my super suit?
And then I sue the baseball team.
You're going to be like the kid who ended up going viral where he face planted.
Right.
He had the three. He had a lead.
Didn't
he thought he was about to win. Yeah, he thought he was about to win. And
no, you got to stay locked in, guys. You got to stay locked in the whole time. I know what's at stake. I've seen that man. I've learned from his struggle. I would love to try it. I would love to try it.
Welcome back in. Fandom Radio, Fox Sports, Knoxville. How do you guys feel about your dads? Father's Day's coming up.
He's pretty cool.
Y'all big fans of your dads?
Yeah, I mean, he's all right. You
yeah.
know?
He's decent.
He's a decent
big
fella.
Big fan of Papa Folk up there?
Yeah. Yeah, of course.
Alex, you apologized when you hit a pitcher with with the ball after
you
hit.
He didn't hit him. He caught it, right?
It's softball etiquette.
I'm just, no, okay? Let me set up.
He is a gentleman and a scholar.
Let me set up the segment. You hit a pitcher and then you said you're sorry. Would you say you're sorry if you hit your dad with an errant shot at the Masters? Or would you say, sorry, Dad, that's the Masters?
I actually have
You have a story about hitting your dad at the Masters?
No, I haven't seen
Why
the video.
Why are you yelling it?
I haven't seen the video, but I think the dad let it hit him.
I have no idea. You guys were the one who brought it up earlier.
I think. I haven't seen the actual video. I've heard about it.
I don't know, dude. It's kind of hard to spot these golf balls.
Did it help it stay in play? Like, did it? Otherwise, if he would have moved and the ball would have continued on its path, would it have been in a worse position had his father not stood and took the shot?
It hit him in the leg, so it didn't have much on
it. It said it hit him in the back of the leg. It would be very hard to strategically stop a golf ball with the back
of
your calf.
I'm not saying he like, but maybe he was just like, "Well, I ain't moving. If it hits me, it'll help him."
Perhaps.
Maybe I would take a golf ball for my child if it helped him in the Masters.
It didn't really. It wasn't too much of a benefit.
What's the biggest honor to get hit by like the ball at a sporting event? Getting drilled in the face sitting courtside at the NBA Finals? Maybe getting run over as a photographer at the Super Bowl?
Catching
or is it
a foul ball would hurt.
Catching a foul ball in the World Series? No, I'm just saying what's the coolest?
Well,
for your dad, if your dad is at any of these sporting events, if you're in the NBA Finals, the Super Bowl, or any of these things, is it the Masters getting hit by a golf
ball?
Hold
on, are we saying
thing your dad can get hit by
For catching a foul ball? Are we saying catching a foul ball like with your bare hand?
We're saying get hit,
like getting hit with it.
You are getting hit by these things, like the lady.
No, I'm saying
like the video QB. Of Terrence Ross drilling a lady in the mouth at courtside would be.
I'm
the
saying
your dad getting hit.
The coolest
in the mouth.
One is if I'm in the Super Bowl as a quarterback and I roll out and throw it into the stands
like,
to avoid a sack.
The
and
Joe
I just
Montana
thump my dad in the side of the head.
That'd be pretty cool.
After the game, I'd be like, hey. That was pretty cool, wasn't it? And he goes, yeah, that was pretty cool.
And then you could give him the old age-old advice that your dad has always given you throughout your whole entire football career of you touch it, you catch it, you idiot.
Touch it, you catch it, idiot. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah.
I think Super Bowl might be
and
the coolest.
And he would get to keep the football.
Yes. Well, probably not.
Yeah, probably.
They normally check on who, like at the Tennessee games, I know it's a little bit different, but like there's no net on the field goal, so they normally are good about checking, and you have to get the ball thrown down. Same thing with just errant passes and stuff, I feel like
the NFL would let you keep it. I feel like if you're the dad of the QB,
they don't.
You can be like, hey, that's my son.
I don't even think, like, have you seen the movie?
That's my son!
Have you seen the movie Kicking and Screaming?
I know it's the Will
yes,
Ferrell.
Yes, one of my favorite movies of all time.
I mean, just the premise in general of Will Ferrell being a rec league coach versus, I'm now blanking on the name, but his dad, who's played by the guy from Secondhand.
Robert Duvall.
Bam. I knew it was Robert, but I didn't want to butcher the name. But Robert Duvall as his dad, who's the enemy team, and then going and hiring his next-door neighbor, Mike Ditka, to be the youth soccer coach is one of the—
Mike Ditka's in that movie?
My favorite premise of all time.
Yes.
But Mike Ditka helps him coach?
Yes. It's so funny, dude.
He does it purely because he hates Will Ferrell's dad in the movie.
It's a top five movie of all time.
Is he Mike Ditka?
Yes, he is Mike Ditka.
So he plays Mike Ditka.
He wears a bear sweater vest. And smokes cigars in his house the whole entire time.
I might have to watch this movie.
And he blows his leaves over the fence just to go into Will Ferrell's dad's yard because he hates him so much.
It's a fantastic movie. But anyways, it reminds me of the scene where, like, you know the scene where Robert Duvall's character catches the Pele ball?
Yes.
And he won't give it to his son. He's like, sorry, I caught the Pele ball. I'm not giving it to you. And the Pele ball is always sitting. I like to think that that's just a movie, and they probably would have gotten the Pele ball back if it's the World Cup. Like, I don't think you get to keep the Pele ball. I don't think you get to keep the football that you hit your dad with. I think you got to pass it back. But I think Super Bowl would be the coolest thing if your son hit you with the ball.
Would be
pretty
cool.
You see, with my dad, it would be me smoking a liner down the line in foul territory.
Your dad's a terrible influence.
No, hold on.
Him catching it.
Him catching it with his bare hand. He'll take the consequences after of, like, his palm getting all swollen and everything.
Broken.
But my dad will catch that ball 100%. 100%.
That would be that. Honestly, that's probably if you're allowed to catch it, that's the coolest
one.
That's cool. Just the toughness factor of it too. Because if he caught the football, it doesn't really sting to catch a football. You take a liner straight to the palm, break your hand, smile and hold it up.
What's the most
point at your son?
What's the worst? Is it like getting a, like, if you just absolutely hit the worst shot in history of Wimbledon and it went into the stands and your dad caught
it. Did you say Wimbledon?
Wimbledon.
Wimbledon?
Yeah, that's it.
I'm sorry, I'm not British.
I don't know how to pronounce that,
okay? That's a different language.
Probably the tennis one.
Like, because you have to go so errant with that shot in order for it to hit the stands.
Like, seven days in hell kind of shot.
Yeah, like, that's getting, like, the ball over the green monster equivalent. You know what I mean? Like, that is a hard thing to do. So catching an errant pass or an errant tennis ball, I think that would be pretty bad.
That would be, yeah. That'd be pretty bad.
Glad we could establish
taking
that.
Taking a soccer ball to the face at full speed kick.
That hurts.
That's going to do some damage.
I've stopped soccer shots with my face.
I took one straight to the groin.
Oh.
Not fun.
Yep.
Not
fun. Wore a cup after that. It was the worst pain I think I've ever felt.
I played goalie and made a slide stop, and the kid followed through into my groin area, and I wore a cup from then on because it was terrible. Mm. It was not a fun time. But in fairness, it was where I was trying to turn it off, and it was a perfect shot. It was dead straight. I think he was okay. He didn't limp away. He walked pretty swiftly. Roy McIlroy talking about his dad's leg.
The caddy was like, wasn't that your dad? And he goes, yeah.
Yeah.
We'll be right back. Trivia next.
Love Rory.
Time for trivia. Tucker, you're starting today, according to Alex.
I am.
Who's the director.
He is right.
Just trying to help you out, Will.
Director.
Sorry.
Operations for overtime. D-O-O-T.
I just won't say anything from now on.
Well, when it's your trivia turn, you can speak.
Yes, sir.
I'm kidding, Alex. I appreciate the help. I get confused easily, so I do appreciate the direction. Today's trivia. We got Jimmy's and Joe's, famous by Charles Barkley during the national championship. He was talking about Jimmy's and Joe's, so I got famous Jimmy's and I got famous Joe's. Obviously, Joseph's, Joey's, James, Jim's, all these people are going to be included in this. Famous Jimmy's and Joe's, birthday style hints type deal. You know how it goes. Guess the artist slash band based off the album titles. I'll give you a bunch of album titles. You got to tell me which artist or band released them. I hope you're paying attention because we also have geography today as
Let's go!
You did not have a good time last time with
you. Don't worry.
Okay.
You did horribly. I'll bounce back.
Fair enough. I wanted it to be known that you did not have a fun time with geography last time.
There was no need for that reminder.
You're starting today?
Yes, I am.
Where would you like to go?
Let's go geography.
Starting off in the geography category.
So Alex can't steal it.
Yes.
Fair enough. I guess we'll start with a fairly simple one. What is the capital of the American state of Arizona?
Come on, dude.
As always, steals will be open after Tucker has gotten it wrong, okay. If he gets it wrong.
Oh, well, there's so many cities that I know.
There's a lot of cities and a lot of states.
Is it? It's not. It's always like you think it's, you think it's one city. There's a lot of states where you think, oh, it should be this
that
city.
City.
It should be this city, but it's not that city.
classic states.
I'm going to guess Tucson.
Is that your final answer?
Yes.
That is incorrect. Anybody for the steal?
Phoenix.
He said it first.
It is Phoenix. I talked myself
We won't give anyone the point because you both got the answer.
I talked myself
Phoenix.
Out of that one.
Folky, 0-0-0. Your category. I understand.
You guys get what
I
mean,
I understand
though?
Your reasoning. I completely understand your reasoning. It's fair. Like, New York City, New York should
like
be
Washington,
the capital.
You're like Seattle.
Yeah, New York City should be the capital of New York, but it's Albany.
Well, it's not on mainland New York.
Folky.
What?
That's fair. He is right.
He's right, but dumb brain people should just
Big
go.
Big city capital. Yeah.
What's the capital of New Jersey?
Trenton.
See.
I was going to say Newark.
I was going to say Rutgers.
I don't know. I don't know cities in Rutgers.
All right, where are you going?
Wait,
where are you
so
going?
Even he thinks that's funny? Little Rutgers? The capital? That's silly.
We'll go, what'd you say, Jimmy's and Joe's?
Jimmy's and Joe's. You want to go Jimmy's and Joe's?
Sure.
Let's go Jimmy's and Joe's.
Jimmy Johnson.
He is not on this list. I do appreciate your effort of shouting. That is incorrect.
Wait, which spelling? We going I-E or Y? Which one is it?
I-E.
That is incorrect. Alex, where would you like to go?
Okay.
No, I'm kidding, Folky. You'll get the Jimmy and Joe hint. This is a famous late-night TV host.
Jimmy or Joe?
I can't. What?
You gotta.
I have to pull it?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
you have to answer the question?
Sorry.
Yeah, that's actually, yeah.
Sorry.
Late-night NBC host, I should specify.
Jimmy Fallon.
Jimmy Fallon is correct. Would you like to stay in Jimmy's and Joe's or continue to a different category?
Let's go geography.
Okay, geography it is. What is the... What's the capital of Denmark also associated with dipping tobacco?
Oh, my gosh. Copenhagen.
Copenhagen is correct. I figured that wouldn't be easy just because of the dipping tobacco. Where would you like to go, Folk?
Let's go back to Jimmy's and Joe's.
Back to Jimmy's and Joe's it is. Let me make sure I got my number correct real quick. Hold on. Sorry. I got to fact check my trivia before I mess it up. This was the 39th president of the United States.
Okay, hold on. Okay, so it's Jimmy, it's not Joe. It's what's his name? Jimmy.
Oh, we're still in Jimmy's and Joe's and you can't get this?
Just hold
on. I thought this was like a history.
No,
hold
this
on.
Is Jimmy's and Joe's.
He gave you the name?
It could be Joe.
Could it?
You know Joe Washington.
Yeah,
the
everybody
founder
knows
of our
Joe.
Name, Joe Washington.
Old President Joey.
Joe Adams and Joe Quincy Adams. And
wait a
Joe
minute.
Jefferson.
Wait a minute. What number president did you say?
39th.
Okay.
So really, really long time ago.
No.
It's the 39 that's
four.
Really throwing him off.
It is.
It's an odd number.
Two.
What do you do with that?
One. Tell him what the answer
Jimmy
is.
Carter.
Jimmy Carter.
Jimmy
bro.
Carter.
The only Jimmy. There's one.
Only Jimmy or Joe. It's
only
the only Jimmy or Joe.
Of the two names, there's one guy that it could be.
Alex.
No, everyone knows John Quincy Adams went by Jimmy.
Like I was sitting here like going back to, because I thought this was history class, and I was like, 39.
James Madison.
Jimmy Madison?
Jimmy Madison, James Madison is a James.
Sure,
Jim.
That could be a Jim.
I'll give him that, but there was no way you were pulling Madison either.
And, and he's nowhere near the
39th president. Alex, where would you like to go?
I'll go geography.
Geography it is.
Sorry, guys.
It's okay. It was,
I apologize to yourself.
It was fantastic. I'm glad you didn't know it for a minute.
Alex,
you didn't know it at all. I forgot.
Alex, true or false? There's no deserts in Europe.
That one's actually
true.
That's
false.
Correct. True. No. It is. There's no deserts in Europe.
I was sitting here going through the countries. I was like, I don't think there's a desert there. I did a little lap around Europe, and I was like, no way.
We might have done this question before, so let's see if you can remember. Would you like to stay in geography?
Sure.
Okay. Like I said, we might have done this question before. If we have, let's just see if you can remember. That's also a piece of trivia. What's the smallest country in the world?
Oh, my God. It's America. Say America. guess America.
Vatican City.
Vatican City is correct.
Ooh,
great poll.
Good
poll.
Wow.
Very impressed by that. Give me some knucks on that,
that
one.
That was nice.
That was very impressive.
I forget that technically
Catholic,
counts,
gotta know that.
Right.
It's a city, not a...
Would you like to stay?
It is a strange little
it's,
bit of...
What is that other category in, not Jimmy and Joe's?
I will give you three
Jimmy
albums.
John's?
You gotta tell me what artist or band released those albums.
Oh, I wish
yeah,
I had
we'll
done that
Yeah,
we're
going Jimmy's
one.
And Joe's.
I know. That's on me.
Jimmy's and
you.
Joe's.
Jimmy's and Joe's. Sounds. I just opened a garage band. On accident.
You play a song, you're like,
I
who's
might actually
that?
Play some original music.
Oh, is it me?
It's original content.
Hold on. I got to turn this off before it accidentally plays my music.
He says you, and you're like, you actually, you know this song?
Sorry, I really
it's
didn't.
Like, no.
Okay. I apologize. This
That's
is
all right,
going
dude.
Awry.
It's just completely
on. This was the lead guitarist for Led Zeppelin.
Jimi Hendrix.
Oh, whoa!
That is incorrect. I don't hate the idea because it is a joke.
That's all I got. I'm
but
sorry.
But it is not Jimi Hendrix, the lead singer of Led Zeppelin. Anybody for the steal?
Jimmy Page.
Jimmy Page is correct. It is Jimmy Page.
Sorry.
Top five guitarists of all time. Don't apologize to me. Apologize to yourself.
Yeah. I thought it was Jimi Hendrix.
I'm apologizing to members of the audience who may feel offended that
albums?
I don't know that.
Give me the albums.
Sounds good. Led Zeppelin 1, 2, 3, and 4. What? No, I'm kidding. It's obvious. Get it?
Kiss.
Boom. Desire. Blonde on Blonde, and Blood on the Tracks, and Bringing It All Back Home.
Oh, my God.
I'll give you a hint. Folky was in the studio when I was writing these, and so he kind of, I said, these are going to be mainly people I listen to a lot. So if you kind of think in the world of Will, try to think in the world of Will. That might help you a
it's
little
Bob
bit.
It's Bob Dylan.
It's Bob Dylan. It is Bob Dylan. Would you like to stay?
Yeah.
Rubber Soul, Revolver, Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Heart Club Band.
I would like to do geography, please.
Okay, I'll ask you.
Is that the Beatles?
That is the Beatles. Good poll. Very impressed by that poll. I'm going to give him the point and let him go
That's
to geography.
Fine. Sure.
What's the capital of Chile?
Santiago.
Good poll. It is Santiago. Would you like to stay here?
Muscovy.
Yep.
Sounds good. Nope. Sorry.
Are you out?
No. I just want to make sure I don't give you too easy or too hard of one. What is the largest non-continental island in the world? Largest non-continental island in the world. So what's the largest island that's not attached to a continent? Or associated with a continent. An island can't be attached to anything, obviously.
Greenland.
Greenland is correct. Good poll right there. Would you like to stay?
Yes.
Fair enough. Kuala Lumpur is the capital of which country?
Ooh. Is it Equatorial Guinea?
That is incorrect. I have an aunt by this name. Anybody for the steal?
Say it one more time.
Kuala Lumpur is the capital of which country? I'm sure I'm butchering that name.
Probably. Capital of which country?
Yes.
I will go. What did you guess?
Equatorial Guinea.
You said your aunt has the same name?
She does. And it's not Chad.
Hmm.
That would be one. Malaysia.
Okay.
Malaysia.
Mm.
Country
mm.
is Malaysia. Mm. Folky, where would you like to go?
That's hard.
Let's go Jimmy's and Joe's.
Jimmy's and Joe's it is. This was a famous defensive lineman known for being kind of mean.
Oh. Mean Joe Green?
Mean Joe Green is correct.
I was waiting for the rest of the hints. Sorry.
Why I haven't done this category, brother, I don't know.
I don't know.
Would
either.
You like to stay in Jimmy's and Joe's?
Yeah, let's stay in Jimmy's and
Joe's. Folky's made it seem 10 times
Folky
harder.
Folky has made
than
this
it.
Seem like the hardest category so far. And the question is, name a president that has the name Jimmy.
This
Could've
man,
been Joe.
This man guaranteed
this
and won a
Joe.
Super Bowl.
Can you repeat it?
No.
Tucker was talking.
It's Jimmy Carter.
This man guaranteed and won a Super Bowl.
I call dibs on this one.
5, 4, 3.
Green.
2.
Fur.
1.
Joe Namath.
What?
I called dibs.
Sorry.
He didn't get to 0 yet.
Please
Joe
don't
Namath.
Say fur without context.
Everybody knows Joe Namath. He was a.
Would you like to go
fur
Jimmy's and Joe's
guy.
Albums or
give me Jimmy's and Joe's? I'll just run through this whole thing in 3 minutes.
Known for his sausage.
Known for his sausage. What a hint.
What?
I'm going to go with Jimmy Dean's.
Jimmy Dean is correct.
Okay. Keep it rolling.
Just played in the NBA Finals.
just played in the NBA Finals, Jimmy Butler.
Jimmy Butler is correct. Overthrew his receiver, but they still caught it.
Overthrew. How many quarterbacks have there been? Overthrew his receiver, but they still caught it. I mean, that could be
Candlestick.
Joe Montana.
Jimmy Garoppolo?
Joe Montana is correct. Candlestick Park. The famous play. Was it Dwayne Clark? Dallas Clark? Something.
Yeah, that Clark.
Yeah, he passed away recently, so RIP to the man. Would you like to, Alex, would you like to, Jimmy's and Joe's geography?
Sure.
What?
Sure, Jimmy's and Joe's.
Okay, my bad.
I'm just going to, I just want to make this clear. I'm sure another quarterback
has overthrown his receiver but that's the easiest.
Eli Manning once overthrew a receiver, but
I'm sure he did it many more times than
Joe that. Flacco probably.
Don't know what you're talking about there.
Daniel Jones.
Remember that one time?
Every pass Eli Manning threw was on target.
You think I'm funny?
That's all I remember.
You think I'm funny?
Stick his hand all the way up.
Huh?
Do you think I'm funny?
Oh, Joe Pesci.
I knew Joe Pesci would be in here the moment you said Jimmy's and Joe's.
I was going to say it, but...
What, I'm funny?
Would y'all want
to... What, I'm funny to you?
You think I'm funny?
You think I'm funny?
Hey, would y'all want to do some DMT later?
Joe Rogan.
It's a Wonderful Life.
That would be... Oh, my God. It's stupid.
No, not stupid.
I know it's not, but I can't pull the name, so it's stupid.
It'd be Jimmy Stewart.
Jimmy Stewart.
It's
Jimmy Carter.
Third rock from the sun, also Inception.
Earth.
Nope.
That's the title of the show. Third rock from the sun. He was also in Inception.
Jimmy Neutron.
That would be one. Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
You see, that wasn't a Jimmy or a Joe.
Joseph. Gordon-Levitt.
Oh, wow. Joe. Okay.
I mean, I said from the beginning.
I thought about it, but he's not Joe.
Fair enough.
You said the name Joseph in your brain and was like, that's not a Joe.
Margaritaville.
Yeah. That's Jimmy Buffett.
Good job, guys.
Let's get out of here.
Third baseman for the Reds. No, first baseman for the Reds.
Joey Votto.
My bad.
Wow. Folky. Bad fan.
Guys, Alabama might be doing what they do at football and basketball.
Yep.
Namari Burnett, 5-star recruit.
Illegally paying people?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, okay.
Yes. That's what I took. Yes. I said that earlier today. You sent that in there, and I said, oh, so they cheat in basketball now, too.
Everyone does it. I'm sure they cheated beforehand.
I think they're cheating a little better now, though.
Winning translates to getting these guys. So when you cheat and you win like they did to get Quinterly from Villanova and a couple other guys like that, as well as Herb Jones and John Petty, you might have had to throw some shillings out there for them. Exactly. And so
like.
now that the money is resulting in wins, the money can result in 5-star prospects this time instead of other prospects. Namari Burnett, you were saying he was going to be was this the guy who was going to be a 1st-round draft pick?
No.
We were talking about Timberlake earlier. But he first McDonald's All-American to sign with the Red Raiders. Only played 12 games before he left the program for quote-unquote personal reasons. He averaged 5.3 points, 1.8 rebounds, and just shot 28% from the field. But he is a 6'4", 190 combo guard that will be – I mean, that body type, and if he's a decent shooter, which I'm assuming they're probably only getting shooters. I don't think they're going to get someone who doesn't fit their mold of their offense. If he's a decent shooter, he can fill that position that John Petty had been playing on.
Yeah, I'm pulling up his
– 9 years straight. So,
pulling up his scouting report from high school. Now, this was only a couple years ago. He's a big body guard who excels both on and off the ball. When he plays on the ball, he uses his frame with great length to overpower defenders and get into the lane. Once there, Burnett shows solid floor vision and is good at finding shooters, which is great for Alabama because they got a lot of them. When he plays off the ball, he makes himself into a scorer who can get buckets by both attacking the basket and from deep. Just great for them. While he is a better athlete than most expect, at first blush, he does need to continue to get into better shape, which should help all aspects of his game.
Yeah, I was looking at this article talking about why it didn't click for him at Texas Tech and how he's going to succeed at Alabama, or how he can succeed, I guess I should phrase that. Brian Hamilton, senior college basketball reporter for The Athletic, I'm assuming that's where this is written off of, joined the team, the Texas Tech Red Raiders, with a bunch of guards, and thanks to Matt McClung and Jamarius Burton, receiving immediate eligibility waivers, Chris Beard just didn't handle the minutes that well, according to Brian Hamilton, said that he just never got the minutes that he deserved. Transfers out for quote-unquote personal reasons, which everyone has personal reasons, but it's also a little bit to do with probably some minutes. I mean, everyone's had the AAU coach who doesn't play him enough, and the parents have to go and talk to him, or at least they have a kid on the team whose parents go and talk to him. Obviously, parents aren't involved in this. This is big boy stuff. This is college basketball. But Hamilton also thinks that he can succeed at Alabama just because there's a bunch of guards doesn't mean it's going to be the same type. This is an offensive team openly with pace and space, and so there should be plenty of shots to go around. Coach Nate Oates' general philosophy is that if players work on skills diligently behind the scenes, he should give them total freedom and confidence to use those skills during the game. So basically he thinks he's going to get the green light a lot more at Alabama than he was going to be getting in a defensive-minded scenario at Texas Tech, which makes sense. If you're getting a little bit more freedom to shoot the ball, you might have a little bit more fun of a time playing basketball.
Their guards are going to be ridiculous next year.
I'm assuming Quinterly's coming back?
Yeah, Quinterly's going to come back. You add Burnett now, and not to mention you're getting the number one point guard in J.D. Davidson.
Are they a force to be reckoned with now for the coming years? Are they going to start establishing themselves?
Certainly.
Is this what this seems like? Is this the first step?
It certainly seems like it, because the fact that they made this team, this past year's team, into what it was, mm-hmm. with guys who were not highly rated recruits, guys who Nate Oates did not bring in. They were already a part of the program. The only guy he brought in was Quinterly as a transfer. Yeah, if they start getting these five stars.
Is this his first year, or has he been there for a couple years?
This is his third year. He's going into his third year.
That's what I thought. I just pulled up Alabama's football recruiting. That's another frustrating thing, is most of these teams that we talk about being good at basketball, you can just type in Kentucky recruiting, and basketball is the first one to pop up because no one cares about Kentucky football rating. Alabama people actually care about the basketball rating. You have to specify when you're Googling. That's going to be stressful. You mentioned J.D. Davis, five-star point guard who's coming as a recruit, as well as the five-star they just landed, to go along with a three-star in Langston Williams, who's a 9-3-5, and Jushon Holt, who's a 9-3-9 as well, who's a four-star. So they're the number one class in the SEC, third nationally for the year of 2021.
Yikes.
Along with this new transfer portal guy. Looking at their 2020 class, they were ranked sixth in the SEC. Josh Primo, Alex, not going to try to pronounce his last name, Keon Ambrose Hilton, Darius Miles, and Keon Ellis were recruits from last year. I don't think we saw a single one of those guys hit the floor. Maybe Primo, I recognize that name, but everybody else.
Alex, was it Alex Reese?
No, Alex, T-C-H-I-K-O-U.
Yeah, no idea. Primo, yeah, the only one that I could remember hitting the floor.
Shackelford was the only guy I recognize from the 2018 recruiting class other than Quinterly, who came in.
Well, that wasn't even Nate Oates' class.
No, it was 2019, yeah. I'm just going back through the classes and seeing how they got these players here. 2018, John Petty's been there for way too long. He's been there for 30-some-odd years, it seems like. But they're just landing guys. They're figuring out ways to win. It's almost kind of the same philosophy that Arkansas was able to use this year, with just kind of piecing a team together. And sometimes it clicks. Moses Moody was able to be the number one guy, and if everyone falling in their own positions, they had a fantastic season last year, being able to plug and play those guys who they did not think were – I mean, I didn't think they were going to be solid at all from the beginning of the season on, and then Arkansas just kept winning.
Yep. We talk about Alabama now trying to piece together a team of transfers and younger guys. There's a team we kind of need to worry about in state, and we'll be facing them again this upcoming season.
Vanderbilt's not that good.
No, I'm not Pippen talking
Jr.
Vanderbilt.
I know Pippen Jr. is coming back, but like ETSU's I don't think
still, and they've not really that, got ever since Steve just, Forbes left.
I do think really Desmond ETSU. Oliver is going to be solid, but I don't know how quick yeah. that turnaround yeah, not, will come.
MTSU's okay. MTSU is all right though.
App State's
okay.
not in Tennessee.
They,
that's
they did beat
North
Michigan
Carolina.
State. They good did beat Michigan good State that one time. Is that what?
No.
Those are the only schools.
They're in West Tennessee.
UTSA stands for University of Texas San Antonio, not University of Tennessee suburban area.
Play them. UTC.
Go ahead and tell me why.
Whatever.
Penny Hardaway,
who cares? Tell us about Memphis.
Tell me about
no,
Penny Hardaway
not, I,
and the roster
look,
that he's going to fail with.
Tell me about.
I hate Memphis as much as anyone.
With all right. Balled up fists, we'll take them on.
Not necessarily balled up.
Arthur
fist.
Meme.
But they did add Earl Timberlake today from Miami.
Weak name. Earl Timberlake.
Is he related to Justin from Memphis?
No.
It's actually not a bad pull.
Is he from Memphis?
No.
Oh, okay. He's
from Miami.
Oh, well.
Is he going to be solid, man? Are you a Memphis guy? I know. Let me rephrase that, because I know you're a Memphis guy. You're from Memphis. That's kind of a
You're a Vol now, brother.
But like, oh, you're a Tennessee 100%. Vol. You're a Tennessee, okay. Vol. Do you have like, you root for Ruggers because you're from New Jersey? Do you have any piece of you that roots for Memphis at all, or are you?
He did.
A true Tennessee fan.
He did.
No, when it comes to basketball, I'm rooting for Tennessee. Let's go. I'm not rooting for I'm not rooting against Memphis though. Like, I grew up I grew up going to Memphis games, so there's a little piece of me there just because that's my first introduction to college basketball.
That's exactly what I just asked. Is there a little piece of you that roots for Memphis? No, but there's a little piece of me that roots for Memphis.
I don't watch their games. I don't root for them to win their games. And when they play Tennessee, I'm sure as hell rooting for Tennessee.
Tell me how Penny Hardaway is going to under-succeed with this roster. Memphis or Miami transfer?
I don't know about under-succeed, because here's the thing. They were a top-five team in defensive efficiency last year.
But they, like, the best team they played could not shoot the ball ever. Like, they didn't play
Houston,
anybody. Yeah,
I'm
like,
guessing you're referring to?
Yes. Houston is the team I'm referring to.
Yes, they were not a great team offensively.
I can admit that Memphis should have won both those Houston games. Now, it came down to terrible shot selection. Memphis maybe didn't deserve to win the game, but they played a good enough game, and Houston probably shouldn't have won that ball game. Same with the Rutgers game. But like, that's the best team they played, and they could not shoot the ball. I'm not overly impressed with
the
conference coming from there.
I agree that the conference is weak. But I don't think we're going to see, again, next year where they don't make the tournament.
That's fair. I can agree with that. I can
like, they bring in
they
a guy.
They just won the NIT, correct?
Yes. And they looked really good doing it.
Again, NIT, but you gotta. You still gotta put together games. It's the same thing as SEC tournament or any conference tournament. Even if you're playing bad teams, you still gotta put all those games together.
I'd say they looked better than either Drake or Wichita State, which both of those teams they faced off in the first four. They were 11 seeds. Wichita State is in Memphis's conference.
I think Wichita State sucks. I think they got lucky to get in. They were talked about as being the worst team in the tournament.
I think they got in solely because they were a regular season champ of the American.
Did they not win the tournament?
No.
Okay, fair enough.
They got bounced early by Cincinnati.
That's what it was. I remember that.
And Cincinnati, that's a disaster of a program right now.
Well, you want to know a fun fact? Cincinnati has the most tournament wins out of the AAC. I lost a trivia question this morning because of
that. That's not surprising.
Or no, not most wins, most Final Four appearances. My apologies. Most Final Four appearances out of all AAC teams, including Houston and Memphis. It's crazy
again
to think about. They probably did it in the 50s.
Yeah, Cincinnati is a historic program, and you know what? It's a little bit surprising because you think maybe Houston would have more, but. There's
or maybe
big...
Memphis. Like, Memphis had that kind of golden era in the early 20s, late 90s, where you think they would have made a couple. But, I mean, it's kind of like Gonzaga. You got to get over the hump. It's very hard to put together those games to get there.
Yes. But, I don't know if we want to resort back to the original point. I mean, they brought in Earl Timberlake. They got, I believe, I'm blanking on the recruit, but they brought in a really good recruit to add to really good guys that they're keeping for next year. They're still in the hunt for a couple of transfers as well.
Mm-hmm. And that's a place that I think a lot of guys will start landing
just
soon.
Because of who their coach is, you know, being Penny Hardaway, and as much as we hate him here in Knoxville, like the fact that he's a former NBA player, like
you cannot underestimate the aspect that has, just that celebrity persona.
With him being like a former NBA star and everyone looking up, like growing up with him as the point guard for the Magic and being an exciting guy to watch, like these kids, the idea of playing for that guy, it's just such a lure for them. And they think because of him, they'll get to the NBA. Mm-hmm. And that's why you see guys like Earl Timberlake being drawn to the idea of going. And for me, Simmons, who, you know, we thought we would maybe get in Knoxville, he was named after Penny Hardaway. If Penny Hardaway had been hired any sooner at Memphis, we could have been seeing him at Memphis. So I think
where did he go? Org? Where? No,
he went straight to the draft. Yeah.
Looking at their recruiting, they were able to land a couple of transfers in last year's class, but they do have the number one class in the AAC this year, eighth nationally, four recruits right now, and then a transfer as well with Earl Timberlake. But you have Jordan Nesbitt, who's a four-star. You have Josh Minot, who's a four-star. Sam Iomide, who's a four-star. And John Camden, who is a three-star. So some pretty solid prospects, not terrible.
Yeah, but don't you worry. Tennessee, we got Quentin Dibunji.
Is Dibunji. That confirmed how you pronounce
it? I put in Google Translate, and that's what it was coming out as.
Okay.
Dibunji.
Yes, but Davey said that the Google Translate is the Canadian French, so he's like, I don't know if you can trust that, but I don't know how Davey knew that.
Devonjay?
See it.
I kind of like that.
Expert
one.
In Google Translate?
I don't know.
Well, Google Translate doesn't work for Latin. I know that because I took Latin and tried to cheat.
Well, it's also a dead language.
Yeah, no one speaks that anymore. So.
Yeah.
If se facte. No, if so facto. Got it wrong.
Okay.
That means matter of fact in Latin.
All right.
That was terrible.
Yeah.
No one knows that.
Puella et Willa.
I.
The girl crossed the road.
Okay.
No big deal.
What girl?
Just a Latin professor over here.
Jimmy? Jimmy crossed the road?
No, Puella.
Oh, okay.
Girl, the girl. You want to take a break? I think we might need one. I just started speaking Latin.
Yeah. Things got a little...
We should do a whole whole episode in a dead language. I think that would be pretty cool.
How many dead languages do you know of?
Latin?
Egyptian? Like
original, like hieroglyphics.
Yeah, like
speaking
pyramid
pictures.
Building.
How do you
Egyptian?
Speak in
just
pictures?
Pure
you
symbols,
just use words
yeah,
to describe
gotta draw
the
picture. Them out.
Yeah. I think they talked at some point.
That's
guys.
just pictionary. That's.
I mean,
like,
they probably used
charades.
Their mouths to speak.
Okay, but is there any like? Are you gonna hear any audio of it? No,
it's a dead language, brother.
Exactly.
What was Mesopotamia? I knew it was a mesothelioma, but I could not say mesothelioma.
If you were a loved one.
I like that thing.
With mesothelioma.
If you or a loved one's been diagnosed with mesothelioma and have any questions, like my first question would be, how do I spell that? Like that's my first question, Mr. Doctor Man.
It's typically on the screen.
It is.
We'll be
it's
right
a
back
big, when they do numbers. That. It's 1-800.
Yeah.
Guys, if you were an NFL player and you got an NFL contract, what do you think the first thing you would buy would be?
If I what now?
Thank you for listening to the show.
If I won $1 million?
No, if you were an NFL player and you had an NFL-level contract,
house.
What do you think the first thing you would buy would be?
I'm buying my parents a house.
Well, Will, I would buy myself out of student debt. That would be a number one.
You're a football player. You got a scholarship. You don't buy yourself
that's
out of student
also,
debt
that's
on that.
True. Very true. That's true.
Very
okay.
true.
So,
no walk-ons are making it to the league. Let's face it.
I'd buy some shirts. You can get a good deal if you buy in bulk.
Yeah, he would go to.
He's just gonna own a Costco.
He would
one
go
day.
To a thrift
I can't
shop.
Wait for this.
Folky would go thrift shop.
Folky's wholesale furniture.
He would buy Brown. Well, if he was a football player, you wouldn't be able to buy Brown season tickets.
No, I would just play there every Sunday.
Technically, you would have season tickets. You'd go to every game.
He'd buy red season tickets.
Oh, he would. God, you'd have a box in Great American Ballpark. That'd be your first purchase.
Would you take the box or would you sit right behind home plate?
I would not sit right behind home plate or the box. I would
boxes
sit,
are the most overrated thing in the world.
Yeah.
I would sit right behind home dugout.
Yeah, that's
right,
a
right
that's
at first,
good spot.
If I want to eat, if I
behind
eat
or like to the side to where like you see David Bell like to your right.
To the side.
Yeah.
Side. You're definitely like you're as close as you're in that little corner.
Yeah.
That's the best place.
Well, the reason I ask.
Okay.
NFL star, former Vol, Alvin Kamara has made he has a $75 million contract. Like we all kind of remember
he
that.
He deserves every penny, too.
How much did he get guaranteed, too?
No idea. I don't have it pulled up in front of me. My apologies. But he got a $75 million contract. Hasn't spent a dime of it.
Really?
Has not spent a dime of his football earnings, according to Make
Good
It.
Good for him, man.
CNBC.com.
34.3 guaranteed.
It's a lot of money.
That's a lot. And a $15 million signing bonus.
Four-time Pro Bowler running back Alvin Kamara may have a $75 million contract to his name, but the Saints Superdar is ready to go back
the Superdar
to his days of surviving off a loaf of bread and a jar of peanut butter if he needs to. 25-year-old is conscious of living well within his means, he says recently in an interview for Uninterrupted's Needing Dough. It's a pretty cool name. I've always known the value of a dollar, the Georgia native says. It's a lesson he learned from his mother, who taught him the importance of hard work. As a kid, I saw my mom work multiple jobs only to be able to afford the bare essentials. So I'm like, okay, this is more than I've ever had. My mom ain't ever had this much, Kamara tells Uninterrupted. It would be a shame if I got this and lost it. I'm going to keep doing the same thing I've been doing, spending on what I need, and that's it. I'm not about to go over the top. I'm not going to live beyond my means. And I mean, most guys who say this, sometimes you can kind of point out different things. And obviously, jewelry is something guys are going to have, so you can kind of get nitpicky.
Well, he needs
but, like,
that.
But there's all, yeah, for sure.
That's a necessity.
Like, you need the drip.
The mouth guards, you got
to
have the drip. Exactly.
Yes.
For 100%, you can't be an NFL running back and not have the drip.
Absolutely.
I mean, like,
but
that's
you can't get lost in the sauce.
100%. Yes. It's very easy. I mean, look at Zeke. He got fat, and now his shirts don't even fit. He wears them halfway up his belly. But
Oh, that's another talking point. Go ahead.
Kamara.
It's by design.
No, not about the shirt.
Kamara.
About his jersey number.
Kamara really lives to this. Oh, like, yeah. You saw videos during, I believe it was right after they got eliminated from the playoffs or right before a playoff game or something, but he was just riding bikes down in New Orleans with a bunch of high schoolers. Like, he just lives like an average human being, and it's really cool to see a normal human being come from Tennessee.
Yeah, and I really I like the way that he's just embraced the New Orleans culture. Like, he's just always just out there. Like, you'll see videos of him just hanging out
in
New Orleans.
He's like Maury Povich in New York City.
Sure.
Yeah, just always
hanging out with normal people. Like, he's just a guy, you know? He's not some...
And he's one of the more recognizable NFL stars, I'd like to argue.
Yeah.
Just dreads, the bull nose ring, and the fancy jewelry, and always has a good sense of style. Like, Drew Brees is a high enough level of an athlete to where most people probably recognize him, but he's just an average-looking dude. He could walk in anywhere and kind of blend in after he got the birthmark removed, especially.
Right.
Now, you're saying Kamara hasn't spent a dollar of it, but he spends it on what he needs. So what is he... What money is he spending to buy what he needs?
I guess that would be
endorsements,
like
ad deals, rookie contracts,
sponsorships. Okay.
Sure. I mean, he just said his $75 million contract,
right.
So he could still be living off of the rookie deal that he got plus ad contracts. I mean,
yeah,
how much money,
that Airhead.
That's
money.
What I was gonna say. How much money did Airhead shell out to him to keep eating that candy?
Got to be a lot.
It's got to be worth the stomach aches. It's got to be worth the stomach aches. Speaking of which, Easter.
I would have no teeth.
Got a basket this year. Realize I'm still 5 years old in the brain. I've gotten a stomach ache every single morning this past 3 days from eating too much candy at nighttime.
Wow.
Someone's got to take my basket away from
me.
Wow.
What's your go-to candy?
Skittles. Skittles or Starburst are my go-tos.
Oh, there we go. Starburst.
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 Let's rank the Starburst.
Wait, hold on.
Hold on.
I don't get original. I get the Fave Reds.
Get out of my face.
Yep.
There's only one good flavor in the Flav Reds, and that's the red one. All the other red flavors suck.
No, pink.
Huge
okay,
disagree.
Pink is pretty good.
Pink's
cherry,
pretty good.
Strawberry,
cherry's
watermelon,
strawberry
fruit
and watermelon
punch.
Suck. Pretty, fruit punch sucks.
Good. They're all pretty good. I'm going Starburst jelly beans as the best Starburst.
Let's go original.
Disgusting.
Original flavors, 1 through 4. 4 being the worst, 1 being the best.
I just lost a lot of respect.
Let's rank the spec. You like jelly beans?
The Starburst jelly beans?
I don't care who you are. If you're
they
eating a jelly bean,
are
I judge you.
The best.
Jelly beans
they're the best.
Good.
Jelly beans
no,
are the
I'm not
most,
talking about just regular
worst,
jelly beans
dumbest
here.
Candy of all time.
Like, I'm talking about Starburst jelly beans.
Any candy and then just put into the shape of a bean. I'd rather have any other shape than
it
a bean.
It changes it.
By making it worse.
No, by making it better. They're so good.
Okay.
I can eat an entire giant bag of Starburst jelly beans. They are amazing.
Original Starburst flavors, 1 through 4, 4 being the worst, 1 being the best. Can we all agree? I've always been Reds number one. That's what I was about to say. I've always been a Reds number one guy, but a lot
pink's
of people like
two.
Pink more. Are we?
I think it's like
I would put pink one.
It's 1A, 1B. Really,
I agree with Fulty.
You can't
2v2.
You can't.
We might have to put a little poll out real quick.
You can't put two perfect things against each other. I think it's disrespectful to the red and the pink. I think they should both sit atop.
Can we all agree yellow is the worst?
Yeah, yellow sucks.
Agreed. I throw those away.
Yeah, you
don't
even
eat
them.
What? That's 1/4 of your product. You're throwing away 25% of what you spent.
Like,
your
you
money
know the
on.
Little 2-pack ones that you get on Halloween?
Oh, my God. If you get one with two yellows,
I would
that's
trade.
The worst.
I would see if anyone was dumb enough to take the yellows, and I'd trade them for whatever
anything
they had.
Anything else.
Yeah.
An orange. Just give me something.
That was the first magic trick I ever learned. Was I had a little
Fleecing
bit of an intuition.
People?
No, I had a little bit of an intuition. I would take Starburst packs and then pretend to like rub them and know the color and then say the color. The trick is there's always a yellow in almost every single pack.
Yeah, I think they know people hate them. I don't understand why they do that.
There's been many times in which I get a double pink.
Thank you,
great,
AJ.
Great days.
Thank you, AJ. He just tweeted
Red's
in.
The best.
AJ Cook, Starburst jelly beans are undefeated. Thank you very much. They're the best candy. Easter time is the best because that's when they come out.
Can we agree Peeps are the most overrated candy in the world?
That's one of those where as a child, Peeps were the king of candy.
You ever put them in the microwave?
And then you get older and you're like, that's kind
of
just Boyle's gross.
Law. Or Charles Law. It's one of the laws. It's Boyle's or Charles Law.
I've not
law.
Had a peep in years.
Know.
Like just the
you can
look
do the
of
same
them,
thing with an Ivory soap.
It doesn't do it for me anymore.
I, honestly, like there's no other candy I get nowadays.
Other than Starburst?
Other than Starburst.
What's the most overrated candy in your opinion?
Overrated candy? I'm going to go with Almond Joys. I hate coconut. So.
Anybody?
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups.
Sour Gummy Worms is my favorite.
I hate Reese's?
Whoa.
I'm going to have to agree with Alex. They're overrated. They're fantastic. Don't get me wrong. I love a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup. but they are so overrated. Yeah, for the definition of overrated, the way people hype them up, how cool their commercials are comparatively to their product placement, like Reese's are overrated. People give Reese's too much credit for just being peanut
just
butter and
just
chocolate.
Because something is liked by the general public doesn't make it overrated. It means it's
true.
But when something's overrated, that means it's overrated.
No. It's not cool to dislike popular things.
I mean, the Yankees are a perfect example.
The Yankees are
the Reese's of the MLB.
Dude, that shout was coming.
He'll
find a way to sneak it in there.
I just wanted to see if I could insult you while also getting you to argue my side.
I don't understand. I have said nothing about the Braves negatively.
Do
you think I would understand?
Do you think I
would care if I understood what you were talking about if you insulted the Braves.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you insulted a baseball team I've been a fan of for a week. How will I ever recover?
That's a loose term, fan. There.
Okay, I was gonna say for a
you
week.
Own a shirt.
Yeah, I don't even own the shirt. I found it in my basement.
There's a shirt in your possession. We'll go with that.
I've worn it a couple of times.
Yeah,
it's got my pit stains. We'll be right back.
Okay.
Hour two, overtime, rolling right along. Will Stevens, Tucker Holt, John Fulgerson, Alex Comas. We're just hanging out, having a good old time, talking candy. Me and Folky went outside, tossed the pigskin for a little bit before the show.
You did?
Yeah. Oh, you got here at 5:50.
No, did I?
We had just walked in when you came in. It was like 5:45 when we decided to come in.
The train over here was a real issue today.
Jeez.
The train?
It's killed me.
I had enough time.
You gotta watch out for trains. Nitsa said that.
As in, it's.
I had enough time.
Nitsa's one of my favorite.
Like, Alex was also waiting in line at the same time I was. I was there before him.
I saw your car.
I had enough time. Whoa. Shut up. I could have thrown my car in park, ran a good distance to his car, had a 5-minute conversation with him, ran back, and I would have still had to wait like 5 minutes. It creeped along at like 5 miles an hour for the full length of a train. I'm just saying.
It did that Radiohead song. Creep.
Okay.
I hate that intersection.
I don't think so. It don't sound right immediately in my head, but
I hate that intersection of Middlebrook and what is it?
What band is that?
I don't know. Is it Liberty? Yeah, Liberty.
Where the truck flipped over yesterday.
Yeah, the truck flips over.
How do you flip a truck there?
The train.
Was everybody okay before we start?
Apparently everyone
was okay.
You were here when it happened. Okay. Were you not? Was it not around 10 o'clock? Because I remember the Blitz tweeting about it because they had Bear as the inside source.
Yeah. Apparently, Chris was saying this morning that everyone was fine.
Okay.
And what happened was the truck flipped over and it hit the back of one truck, like a pickup truck.
Was it the one with the Alabama sticker on it?
Yeah, it was an Alabama sticker.
Deserved it.
And then the front end of another truck.
Yeah, that looked...
And apparently everyone was fine.
That looked wild. Bad. It was not funny, but I saw that picture like hours before. And like I saw that picture like when it happened. And then I get a... You called
me. I was
the
one who called
you. I couldn't answer. You called me.
I got here early yesterday
because I had
to do trivia for the drive.
That's on your way. You need to find a new route. And I was like, what? And I looked at the picture. And I was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
I go through there every day.
I thought I recognized the tobacco store sign. And I was like, that's right. That is at the bottom of the hill. So, but yeah.
It was an oil truck too, so... Little concerning.
Yeah, I drove through there the other night.
Oh, no, the U.S. military's on their way.
Oh, my God. It was a petroleum, so that was like gas.
Yeah.
It's dangerous.
Yeah, so but I drove through there.
That's oil.
Sure.
No, your fossil fuels much, idiot.
I guess you're right.
We drafted petroleum-based products.
We did draft petroleum-based products.
Yeah. Did
that was a fantastic draft.
No, that was a horrible draft.
That was so funny.
God, we were still like trying to get our sea legs on the radio. We talked about petroleum-based products.
What's your favorite petroleum-based product?
It's everything. It's everything.
Everything.
Pick something.
Is petroleum.
Pick something. It's made with petroleum.
That aglet on your shoe?
Petroleum.
Toothpaste?
Petroleum.
Fluoride.
Petroleum.
I got you.
Petroleum.
Speaking of finding another way, Tom Brady had an interview where he found out that, quote-unquote,
he's old.
The Patriot way isn't the only way. He can go both ways. When you're in one place for 20 years, you think that's the only way. He told Good Morning America in an interview that aired Wednesday. And I think going to a different place, you realize, wow, there's another way people do things. Kind of just like seeing the new world, seeing what's out there for him. Obviously won a Super Bowl with his new team in the first year. He later added, I was the new guy for the first time, you know, and that was a really different experience trying to kind of just be the new guy, be the freshman on campus type deal.
Okay,
not the
Tom
freshman,
Brady's
but
the freshman.
I was about,
yeah.
let's not pretend like
the new transfer.
He felt like the new guy.
He didn't
guy.
Have to introduce
Everybody
himself
was like,
to anybody.
Hey, Tom, how you doing? Yeah. He's like, you know my name? Shut up, Tom. You've been here 60 years.
I think it's a great part about football, Brady told GMA. It's not really about what you did last year. It's kind of what you're going to do this year. So, for me, it's not what the Bucs did last year. It's what they're going to do this year, and I still feel that way. So maybe another Super Bowl on the horizon, or if he doesn't care what they did last year, maybe a last-place finish on the horizon. That's a big part of what I understood last year. Things are going to be different. I try to work within what's currently happening and still try to do the best I could do. All of it was really, really amazing. Obviously, the time, or the way the season ended, so it was a great year. Tom Brady just talking about
sure.
how.
Yeah, it was
he,
a good year
well,
to win the
how,
Super Bowl.
How insightful that quote
what
was.
What a hot take, yeah. Like, I'm, yeah.
Wow, there's another way in which you can win? Wow. You don't
UL.
Say because you
offended.
Won. Yeah, this isn't on you.
This is about Tom Brady.
Okay, if y'all want to go find content to talk
We're
about,
not, this isn't
you
about
can
you.
Find content
no.
to talk
you're
about.
You're choosing
I'm
to be offended.
This
was
great.
You're choosing to be offended.
I bring up the articles
yelling?
That y'all
Everyone's
just poop
yelling.
All of the time.
This was a great piece of content because this
yes.
gives us an opportunity to hate
to
on
Tom
Brady.
To hate on
Tom
Brady, yes.
Exactly.
I mean, like,
he's old.
He's old. He
it
is
also,
old.
It also gives me the opportunity to take another victory lap after our argument about Tom Brady versus Matt Ryan. Tom Brady won a Super Bowl, so there's that.
Right, but also at the same time, you're saying no way should Atlanta draft a quarterback because Matt Ryan's
no,
still
no, no,
the
no.
guy.
Said Matt Ryan has more years on his contract. There's no reason
at
to
an
go.
Elite level.
Never said
to
that.
To be the best.
Said there's no reason to make a reach at 4 when you can punt and take the next best quarterback in the next draft.
Because
when you,
he's going to throw for 40 touchdowns.
And get the most valued for your fourth
right.
pick. Especially when the Patriots, the team we're kind of talking about right now, obviously the Bucs are the team we're talking about, but the Patriots
right.
and the Patriot, where what we're also talking about,
sure.
they're the team that's rumored to try to get in there. And I know we talked about it yesterday, but do you think the Patriots like have a legitimate chance? Or not, I have
yeah,
a
I mean,
legitimate
they got
chance,
a ton of assets.
But would be willing to do that. Like I could see that happening. They have Sony Michel, James White, and all these random running backs in their backfield that could maybe be at play. Obviously, they wouldn't sell them solely. That would
the
not
Patriots
be enough for the
trade
fourth.
Bill Belichick.
I mean, the Boston Celtics did that with Doc Rivers.
Yeah.
Like, you can – John Gruden was a part of a trade, was he not?
Yeah.
I mean, like, you can do that. I just don't know if you would, especially with the hiring of Arthur Smith. I don't know if they're looking for a coach down there in Atlanta. I think they're looking for something else. But I think it's going to be a very interesting draft. I thought it was an interesting article. It is kind of cool to talk about a guy who's been somewhere for 20 years, go somewhere new, and still kind of have the same recipe. Like, even if you hate Tom Brady, even if you love Tom Brady, even if you're indifferent to Tom Brady, which I know it's the very first thing I said is what a lot of people have feelings towards him about with the hate, you still got to realize, like, that's A, legendary, B, like sick, like just to be able to be somewhere for 20 years and then go somewhere and just kind of duplicate that. Like I do kind of you kind of have to appreciate that. Like that is art almost at its perfect form. I think it's beautiful.
Speaking of art, sorry to sidetrack us here, but the first round has concluded at the Masters. The combined score of all the players at the Masters is +220.
I thought those were the odds for someone.
Last year, the combined score was -54.
That's what I was talking. I don't know if I said
Ooh,
this.
I got a good meme.
I don't know if I said this on mic or not, like on air. But like there was talk of like them possibly like trying to make the course harder for this one because back in November, it was -54. Mm-hmm. Like they kind of beat the course down. It was a lot easier to play. I mean, like I was talking about, they've dried the greens are dry. You can see brown spots all in it. Maybe that's because HD TVs are a little better now. I don't think so. I feel like you would have noticed that in years past. But the greens are dry. I mean, they're running. They're harder. They're running faster. The course seems to be doing pretty well today, and I think it was a planned thing by Augusta to kind of, hey, this course is still one of the harder in the country.
The course today.
Sure, go for that. Go ahead, buddy. That'd be a good one.
It's a pretty good one.
Be a good one. Go ahead. Tag me in the tweet and say, yes, Tucker said this was okay. Tucker said this would work.
But, are you guys a bigger fan of the course or the players?
I think whenever – so there's two sides of this coin. If the players –
yes, that's
okay,
how coins
yep,
work.
Yep, and then I will explain what they might be. But so if the course is
oh,
weak.
Well, end the segment. Sorry, gotta go.
Yeah. If the course is weak.
Whoa, this coin has three sides. Wait, no, that's just a triangle.
All right, explain the head side.
If the course is weak, you get to see more incredible shots.
More offense.
You get to see more eagles. You know, you could see.
Would that be equivalent of like saying more offense? Like, could you say that technically? Because like that is the way you score, I guess. Sure. But it is less points at the same time.
You just see.
Hey, you're sidetracking him. Let him get the size of the point.
Talk about the stroke game.
You see higher level golf. If the greens are run a little more forgiving, guys might be more inclined to hit longer putts. Chipping and whatnot around the greens are a little more manageable. You set up for more birdie putts, stuff like that. But if the course is hard, then the best, like it really shows how far that gap is. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, right now, like, 20th place is over par, whereas Justin Rose is sitting at, what did he finish at, like, 7 under?
7 under, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a huge gap, especially when it comes to guys at this level playing at the top of their game in the highest level of competition in the world.
It's kind of like this tournament.
I think I'm a strong course kind of guy.
It's kind of like this tournament. Now, it's apples to oranges, and stick with me with this comparison, but this year's tournament, the way you were describing, if the players are playing well, you get kind of the offense, and you get to see everybody, sure. And everyone's having a good time. And a lot of tournaments have been like that, where you'll see a couple of upsets, but mainly it's just the best games and the best teams winning, and you're having the best games, but then there's every now and then an upset. And then this year, you had the most upsets, kind of like the course being dominant, the most upsets where the bad teams got high seed teams that were frauds got eliminated early, and then it really, after those games happened, you saw the separation of the best teams being Baylor and Gonzaga going to the final and kind of rolling to it, and all of the other teams kind of struggling to stick with them in those games. I would kind of compare it to that to make my dumb brain understand it.
Sure, that's a way to look at it.
You're a course guy.
I think that's why, as I've gotten older, I've kind of gotten into golf more, is because, like, with golf, especially now, like, as the years have gone on, Tiger's kind of declined to where he's not just completely dominating the sport and winning every major and tournament out there.
See, I
to where
that.
Now it's a lot more unpredictable. You have guys who pop up, win a few tournaments, and then they're nowhere to be found for another year.
I understand, as like someone who likes golf or is getting into golf, or someone who's just kind of watching from afar, any type of fandom of golf, that would be better, because it's more people, more names, and you get to see kind of the best golfers. But I really do think that golf needs maybe not as high of a player as Tiger Woods, because Tiger Woods is like the Michael Jordan. He's the best of all time, obviously. Yes. But they need a player like that, like someone who is
that
number one figure.
There are guys like that. Dustin Johnson is probably that guy for this generation.
Kind of right now, but I just don't know if, obviously.
I don't know. He's very humble. He doesn't speak out much. Yeah. I feel like it's the younger crop, the Spieths, the DeChambeaus.
So, I mean, just like
the Koepkas. I mean,
with talent. And I'm talking about strictly between tee box and green.
And obviously, it's going to be a lot harder, and no one's ever probably going to compare to Tiger Woods or captivate a nation like that.
No.
It's big shoes to fill, but they got to find someone, because I haven't been really enamored by anyone since Tiger. Rory McIlroy, I remember, and Ricky Fowler, when they came into the league, everyone thought they were going to be something great, and they just it wasn't that number one guy like a lot of people think. I think golf needs a number one guy. They need someone like a DeChambeau, for example, who just gets all the attention. Birthday's next?
Sure.
We'll be right back. It's time for the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game. It's time for the birthday game I'm hosting today. So you know what that means. I'm going to do some random names that y'all have never heard of, because there are some terrible birthdays today.
Okay, cool.
Just not a lot of great birthdays today.
All right.
Sure.
So here we go.
Let's just get it rolling.
Number one. We'll start with actresses, TV actress. Born? Huh. Same age as me.
Aubrey Plaza.
No. April 8th, 2002.
Oh, same age as you.
Yeah. April 8th, 2002, New York City, New York. 19 years old. Actress who became well known for starring as Zuri Ross and Disney's Jessie.
Bro,
I don't know her name.
I haven't watched it.
I mean, this is where I'm at. I'm sorry.
I'm not mad at you. Yeah. I'm just saying that's way after my time.
She also starred in the spinoff Bunked and portrayed Kicking Girl in The Smurfs and appeared in 2009's Rebound.
Can we get initials?
S.J.
Sky Jackson.
It is Sky Jackson. Good pull.
Oh, actually,
good
no. Pull. Wait, is she not in anything else?
I'm just reading the birthdays page.
Okay, that's
so
fair.
I am.
What else has she been in? Because I know who that is.
She appeared in an episode of Boardwalk Empire in HBO in 2011, Bubble Guppies, as well as...
Bubble Guppies?
Big
that's fan of Bubble.
She appeared. She competed in the season 29 of Dancing with the Stars, and she appeared in the music video for Lil Nas X song, Panini. So you might have seen her in any of that.
No.
Okay.
I'm looking up. I'm looking it up.
No.
Alone. You don't have to keep throwing out stuff. No.
Definitely not that.
Maybe I've just seen this person on
the
Twitter.
The birthdays have to be really good for you to start off with her.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this one, a sad one, one I probably wouldn't do if we weren't scraping the bottom of the barrel, but this is my number two because we are scraping the bottom of the barrel. April 8th, 1974, Odessa, Texas, passed away for February 2nd, 2013 at the age of 38. American military sniper known for recording.
Chris Kyle.
Yes, Chris Kyle. R.I.P.
Odessa, is that not where the story for Friday Night Lights takes place?
Could be. No idea.
Permian Panthers?
We might have to go obscure NBA basketball players just as a warning. Like that's where we're at. I'm already getting to that point. So
right up my alley today.
It really is. Like these are just setting up to be Alex's best day ever because I can't find any. Okay, here's one guy. You should know this name. Journalist. April 8th, 1972, Miami, Florida. 49 years old. NBC News White House correspondent and MSNBC political commentary.
Jim Acosta.
No. He became known for his work on MSNBC's The Daily Rundown and on NBC Nightly News with Brian Williams.
It's not Brian Williams.
It is not.
That's a good pull, though.
Two first names. He became
Chuck Todd.
Chuck Todd is correct.
Ah.
What would happen if you threw a Todd?
It's weird. I was listening to a podcast today, and his name came up randomly. I'd never heard of the guy before. Birthday.
You never heard of Chuck Todd?
This was a podcast episode from 2018.
Huh.
So, no, I don't believe it was about his birthday.
Were you listening to it today or in 2018?
Yeah, I was listening to it today.
This dude's a director, but he has a name similar to someone else, so I'm going to get you to guess the name, not the person, if that makes sense. Famous Oakland Raiders coach. This dude's a director. The best
Tom Cable.
The best exotic Marigold Hotel and Kill Shot video games, NFL
what?
Video games.
What are we guessing?
I'm just getting you to guess a name because I'm giving hints of this dude and trying to make it a little bit easier, but I'm also hinting at his name. Oakland Raiders famous
John Madden.
John Madden, NBA, video games, NFL video
okay.
games. I mean, this is where I'm at. I apologize sincerely.
You could easily have,
just given...
that wasn't a throwaway name. John Madden, I've heard his name once or twice.
Wait, the director, what did he direct?
The best exotic Marigold Hotel and Kill Shot. That's really it. Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, so it wasn't actually John
Kill
Madden.
Shot.
It was another guy named
That's
John Madden.
What I said. Gotcha. I said I'm not getting you to guess the dude. I'm getting you to guess the name. Famous Oakland Raiders head coach.
I didn't know. Okay.
Gotcha.
Speaking of movies, I watched Triple Nine today on Netflix. Recommend that movie.
Okay.
For
all right.
Any audience members or you guys, really good movie.
There's just no birds.
I'll check that out.
Here's a baseball player.
What genre is that?
It's a crime action
okay.
kind of movie.
That's my kind of movie. I'll
Anthony Mackie, Casey Affleck, Woody Harrelson.
Okay.
I forgot his name, but he's in a lot of movies.
April 8th, 1986.
All right.
Valencia, Venezuela. 35 years old. MLB pitcher known as, I can't say that because it has his name in it, who won the AL Cy Young Award in 2010 with the Mariners.
Felix Hernandez.
There you go. I was waiting for someone to say it. I'm just going to do this guy because I'm assuming he's good enough. April 8th, 1986, Santa Monica, Dominican Republic. 35 years old, baseball infielder who played first base, third base, and catcher during his major league career. He made his debut with the Cleveland Indians in 2010 and helped them reach the World Series in 2016.
Carlos Santana.
Correct. I'm going to save the rest of these baseball players just in case we got to come back to them. Let's go football players.
The only Carlos Santana I know was a great guitar player.
Fantastic guitar player.
That threw me off. I was like, he didn't play baseball.
He didn't play bass. He played guitar.
Yeah.
April 8th, 1999, Louisiana, 22 years old, wide receiver. He had a dominant collegiate career at the University of Oklahoma where he totaled over 1,000 receiving yards at a CD
My
Lamb.
Brain freaked out as soon as you said Oklahoma. I was like,
I saw the panic on your face.
I knew exactly who you were talking about.
Another football player, April 8th, 1986, Jacksonville, Florida, 35 years old as well. NFL defensive end who signed with the Seattle Seahawks in 2013 after 5 seasons with the Detroit Lions, helped reach the 2014 Super Bowl with
Frank
the Seattle
Clark.
Seahawks. Incorrect.
Just throw it out there.
Very sharp edge of a mountain, perhaps, and a kind of close to Advil.
Cliff Tylenol.
Cliff Averill.
Cliff Averill. Folky, you are the king of giving answers away. Cliff Tylenol. Cliff Tylenol.
Folky killing it today.
What was the second part of that hint?
Kind of close to Advil. Avril.
Okay, Avril. Okay, I was thinking
the medicine.
Avril Lavigne was the only other thing I could have gone. And I think Lavigne would have thrown y'all off maybe because Zach Lavigne.
Like Zach.
Exactly.
His name is Cliff Zach.
Here we go with some obscure basketball players. This is where Alex is going to run away with it. I apologize.
Okay, it's fine.
They're NBA players.
I'm not mad at you. I'm mad at their parents.
But they're all white foreign players. So it's very much you have to watch the NBA to know these guys.
Okay.
April 8th, 1995. Orid Macedonia. I did not know this dude from Macedonia. 26 years old. Versatile Turkish.
Aaron Baines.
No.
Luka.
No.
Marc Gasol.
Shush.
Pau Gasol.
Valanciunas.
Oh, wait. I can't get hints out if you're just going to scream at me. Like, you're not going to get the answer. You might as well stop talking.
Don't scream at him like that.
Mario Hezonja.
Versatile forward from Turkey who began his professional career
CD
in 2012.
Chetty Osman.
It is Chetty Osman. Famous.
I would have got that.
Legendary NBA basketball player. Passed away in 2019 at the age of 79. He was born in 1940. Martin Ferry, Ohio. Legendary Boston Celtics small forward who was an 8-time NBA champion, 13-time All-Star. He became Boston's all-time leading scorer with 26,395 points. He won an NCAA championship with Ohio State University in 1960. His number 17 was retired by the Boston Celtics, and he was inducted into the Hall of Fame in 1984. J.H.
Jim Havlicek.
Is that not right?
It's not right.
Ah, that's that. Ooh. Thought that was right.
Anybody else?
I don't know this one.
It is John Havlicek.
Oh!
I'm sorry.
Oh, that's tough.
We did Jimmy's and Joe's earlier.
That's
this dude's
tough.
John.
That's
He's not a Jimmy.
That's tough.
I
was going to say John out loud, but that was as far as I was going to go.
Final basketball player, April 8th, 1994. Sibnik, Croatia, 27 years old, 6'10 power forward, named FIBA European.
Zaza Pachulia.
No, European Young Player of the Year in 2013.
Dario Saric.
It's Dario Saric.
Baseball, are we going back to that?
I can go back to baseball, but these are some older guys.
Any, like, musicians or, like, anything?
You think I wouldn't have done them already?
Nobody knows.
Troubles I've seen. Baseball player. Man. Where'd the baseball players go? There's the baseball players. It's Catfish Hunter's birthday. I don't know if y'all know that. Was the
former Yankee.
Gary Carter. Yonder Alonso. Jeremy Guthrie.
Bobby
Wilson.
I would have known Yonder Alonso.
See, that's
Manny Machado's brother-in-law.
I'm sure that's on the hint
list. Is it really?
Yes.
Oh.
That's not on the hint list. We'll see you tomorrow.
We love you guys.
Kind of.